there is now.
And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast.
15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the City of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Today is Thursday. It's the 19th of July, 2018. There's so much going on in the crypto and blockchain world. I don't know where to begin, but I think a good place to start is the levels. Bitcoin's currently trading at $7,417. That's up 1% in the last 24 hours. Ethereum is currently trading at $481. That's down 3.5%. We have EOS currently trading at $8.67. That's down 1%. Stellar is currently trading at 31 cents. That's up 7%. And we also have Cardano trading at 18 cents. And that's up 4% in the last 24 hours. I think there's a lot of value to be had at the minute of the market. We had a small rise. We had a small appreciation of the level in the crypto space of different levels. The current market cap in the space at present is $291 billion. We've got a long way to go. We really do. But I think a steady progress that we've made in the last 48 hours, we saw Bitcoin break the $7,000 level, which is a massive psychological level to pass through. Currently trading at $7,400, so it's managed to pass through that with ease. I know prior to this, in the last couple of weeks, it'd been struggling to break past that $7,000 level. So it's interesting that it's passed through that. We saw a small jump with the rest of the market, because when Bitcoin moves, the rest of the market follows. And this has happened time and time again. The market trades in lockstep to Bitcoin itself. So you have to really monitor what Bitcoin's doing. That's what really drives this market at present. And this could change, but at this current point in time, that is the situation in hand. I want to say a big thank you to everyone that's joined our Telegram recently. Big thank you. Thanks for being part of our gang, our community. If you haven't already, it's SVK Space Crowd. Just type that into Telegram and you'll find us. We cannot be missed. I want to say a big shout out to Idris as well. You're making lots of great conversation in Telegram, so keep doing what you're doing. Listen, let's get down to business and get on to the next part of the show. All right, so when we did our event on Tuesday here in the City of London, when EOS rules the world, we spoke about delegated proof of stake, DPoS. So what I'm looking to do with this podcast is really go through what delegated proof of stake is. And let's say if my five-year-old cousin was listening, hopefully they could understand what it is. That's what I'm aiming to do. And hopefully we can get this done. And hopefully this can provide value for everyone out there who hasn't heard of what delegated proof of stake is. And hopefully by listening to this, they can gain some value and understanding of delegated proof of stake. So listen, let's jump into this and let's get down to business. Okay, so I like to think of delegated proof of stake as a technological democracy. Just think about how many idiots or idiot bosses there are in the world. I mean, have you ever wanted a system in which you, the employee, get to fire your own boss? So, well, I mean, there is a new system that is very close to the reality of employees getting to fire their own managers, bosses, whatever you want to call them. It's called delegated proof of stake. So, if you've spent any time in the Bitcoin rabbit hole, you've probably come across the terms proof of work, proof of stake, proof of importance, or other consensus algorithms. But, you know, I'm not going to use words like algorithm or consensus. I'm going to attempt to explain what delegated proof of stake is in such a way that everyone can understand it. So, a blockchain engineer named Dan Larimer realized that Bitcoin mining was too wasteful of energy. He also recognized that Bitcoin mining would become centralized in the future, with giant mining pools being in control of the Bitcoin network. Additionally, he wanted to build a system that was capable of transactions, or transactional speeds of, you know, 100,000 transactions per second, which is known as TPS. TPS stands for transactions per second. Bitcoin's system was too slow to the way it was designed and the system it used, which was proof of work. He decided to basically invent a new system that used very little energy, was lightning fast and very secure, which is very important. Darren Larimer named this new system delegated proof of stake, or commonly known as DPoS. So, what are the ingredients for DeepOS? A cryptocurrency, a blockchain, a community of people, computers, and rules. So, people in particular, cryptocurrency community vote for witnesses to secure their computer network. So, only the top 100 witnesses are paid for their service. The top 20 earn a regular salary because many want to become a witness. There are hundreds of backup witnesses. People's vote strength is determined by how many tokens they hold. This means that people who have more tokens will influence the network more than people who have fewer tokens. As the community grows, it basically gets harder and harder to remain a paid witness due to increased competition. If a witness starts acting like an idiot or stops doing a great job, a quality job securing the network, people in the community can remove their votes, essentially firing bad actors in the network. Voting is always ongoing. The other thing is this system works because it's able to flush out bad actors and at the same time recognize new valuable members. The system is dependent upon basically active voters in the community. So educating new members about how the system works is essentially to the well-being of the entire system. I've been in the Steam community now for over a year, and I've seen some witnesses come and go based on their actions and reputations. So that's essentially what delegated proof of stake is, the fundamental version. And we can do a kind of a deeper dive on actually how that works and what that looks like from a deeper understanding from a technology point of view. But in essence, that's what delegated proof of stake is. And it gives you the ability to vote for who you believe will be a good witness to the network. And it basically makes the witnesses kind of like politicians, right? That if you really don't, like say if a politician gets voted, they normally have a really, really, really great idea of how they want to improve everyone's lives, add value to the overall community of their country. And that's why they get voted. The majority vote them in many cases. And that gives them now the power to hopefully execute on the mandate that they said they would deliver on, right? But let's just say that they don't do that and they do something else or they don't deliver on what they expected. You normally have to wait a set amount of time to re-vote. What this really gives you the ability to do is have different political actors or different witnesses out there, and you always have the ability to vote. If you don't like what someone's doing to the network or their views on how they're going to change things, that can always change. You just have to move your vote to someone else. So you always have the power. So it's in everyone's best interest to deliver on what they're saying. So this really is a community voting basis. And by the way, anyone with EOS tokens has the ability to vote. And I think we should do another podcast about talking about how to vote, because I think many people who hold EOS have no idea how to vote, have no idea how their EOS are really in control of the network. If you're an EOS token holder, you have the control in the EOS IO network. That's a fact. And I think people need to know how to actually execute that, how to vote, a step-by-step guide. So I'll definitely get something along those lines, but hopefully that gives you an overview to what delegated proof of stake is in a very, very quick summary. We also want to say a big thank you to Leah Stevens, founder of Slothycorn, for helping us with the content on delegated proof of stake. School's now out. Let's get on to the next part of the show. One of the big stories today, EOS breaks new record with 2,822 transactions per second, leaving Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Ripple way behind. So EOS is coming close to breaking above 3,000 transactions per second. Within days of crossing 2,000 transactions per second, it has surpassed Bitcoin, Ethereum, Ripple, while reflecting onto Visa, which handles about 1,700 transactions per second, but certainly can manage a much larger number. EOS has broken yet another record and set a new high, according to the latest data available on EOSmonitor.io. All-time high at the minute has reached 2,822 transactions per second. Just a couple days back, EOS reached close to 2,000 transactions per second. In a matter of days, it is now nearing the 3,000 transactions per second. Being a cryptocurrency that is primarily focused on scalability along with offering ease of use, EOS is making progress in the right direction. The project has been also working on its ease to use factor by implementing the human readable addresses and free transaction to allow people to use dApps without tokens. However, here RAM plays an integral role. In actual scalability in the area, currently EOS is making substantial progress as it keeps increasing its transactions per second. Another point to consider here is EOS also supports interchain communications. This allows the multiple blockchains to work parallel as a single system. That means reaching hundreds of thousands and even millions of transactions per second is a possibility. And as one Redder put it, EOS should stand for Ethereum on steroids. I think it's a cool title. I don't think it's going to catch on. But hey, listen, we'll see. Just a quick something I picked up today is basically Start Engine now accepts Bitcoin for regulation crowdfunding. So this is really interesting. So Start Engine Capital, a subsidiary of Start Engine Crowdfunding Incorporated, which is basically a funding portal that helps companies raise capital utilizing regulation crowdfunding exemption from registration under the Securities Act of 1933. And that is until now. So what they've started to do, right, is accept Bitcoin for regulation crowdfunding. So the crowdfunding that they're doing is secure, it's regulated, it's compliant. But what they've done is been able to use Bitcoin in a legal format where they can now use that to crowdfund for projects. So it's slightly like an ICO style, but it's a little bit different. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see if anyone else follows this suit and anyone else follows this way of doing it, accepting Bitcoin for crowdfunding under a regulated umbrella, which is under the crowdfunding umbrella. I don't know how they managed to get this. This is really big for the ICO space, especially in the States where these guys are based, because you know, it's really tricky with the SEC at the minute to basically work with those guys. Anyway, listen, I hope you had some value out of today's podcast. We're going to try and implement more and more education on certain topics. So if you have any that you would like for us to cover, please feel free to hit us up in the Telegram, svkcrowd, or hit me up on email, cstory@svkcrypto.com, which is cstory@svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap. I got to bounce. Remember, as always, to follow us on Twitter. If you follow us, we'll follow you back at @svk_crypto. Thank you so much for your time and your attention, and have a great day. That's a wrap.
You've been listening to an SVK Crypto Podcast original. Follow us on Twitter at @svk_crypto. Email us on cstory@svkcrypto.com. Leave us a message on our website, www.svkcrypto.com.